Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Heavenly Father, and from that perfect and noble sacrifice, His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The words that we'll consider this morning are the latter portion of our epistle reading from Hebrews chapter 10. There it is written, "And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days,' declares the Lord, 'I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds.' Then he adds, 'I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin.'" So far, our sermon text. And let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that by them you would set us apart for yourself from this dying world, for that heavenly life above. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow Redeeming Christ, a couple of weeks ago, Susan and I were in the car headed back here to Lake Havasu City from Parker. We had gone down to see Amanda's volleyball game. And right in front of us was Pastor Dan Basil, who was down visiting. And he was in his rental car. And we were coming up to that series of curves down by the Bill Williams River. I think most of you know what I'm talking about. The road snakes up through a cut in the rock, and the rock goes up on both sides, and you can't really see around the curve. And you know what happens there. We're driving along, and this fellow passes us in the no-passing lane, in a no-passing zone, going about 75, 80 miles an hour, and we can see the lights coming around the bend. And so right at that moment, the all-important thought was, get out of the way. We were trying to figure out how to get out of the way and hoping, I suppose, in the back of our minds that Pastor Basil would be able to figure out how to get out of the way too. And sure enough, we all hit the brakes, and that car just missed hitting the car in the other lane. It would have spun out and wiped all of us out. A near miss. Here's another example of something that's all important. I've attended the last days of many friends and former members. I've sat with them for the days and hours leading up to their death. And as it becomes more and more obvious to them that their time of grace on this earth is drawing to an end, and their bodies are shutting down, their natural thoughts go first from wishing for more time and then to regrets. And finally, that all important things comes into focus for them. The forgiveness of God. The forgiveness of God is all important. And we Christians know it in those lucid moments that we have once in a while. We know that His forgiveness is all important. We believe in the forgiveness of sins that Christ won for us. We know God's heart toward us. God's forgiveness is all important because of our failures. Because where there's forgiveness, there's also life and salvation, thank God. God's forgiveness is all important also for our faith. Because God's forgiveness is the gospel message about Jesus. And that is the power of God unto salvation for us who believe. And finally, God's forgiveness is all important for fruitful lives. Because it's His forgiveness that gives us joy and boldness and a purpose. And it's His forgiveness that is the joyful and bold message that we have to share with other people. God's forgiveness is all important, first of all, for our failures. And not just for our failures, but for the sins of all people. That's one of the chief messages of the Old Testament. You know, there are 39 books in the Old Testament. And none of them are about shining paragons of virtue or mythical heroes like you find in the writings of other civilizations. The Old Testament is about people who failed and the only true God who never fails. This book was written to the Hebrews, and it zooms in on their failures. And you would think that with God dwelling in their midst in the Old Testament times, you'd think the Israelites would have listened to the Lord, but they did not. God dwelt among them. He went before them as a pillar of fire, a pillar of smoke. He parted the Red Sea so that the people could walk through on dry ground and be saved from the Egyptian army. The presence of the Lord was upon the top of Mount Sinai, and it filled the sky with smoke and lightning, and you'd think that they would do as God commands. But what do we find? Moses comes back down the mountain with the tablets of the commandments, and what does he find but the Israelites gathered together, fashioning a golden calf, an idol in the shape of one of the gods of the Egyptians that they had just been rescued from. Did not God's anger burn hot against them? And yet, did not God forgive them? They would have perished without his forgiveness. But he brought them through the sea for a reason. From them was coming that promised one. And for his sake, for our sakes, God forgave them. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. That's a refrain in this passage. After they came into the land that God promised them, they did not listen to the Lord, and they did not keep themselves from intermarrying with the former inhabitants of Canaan. And as a result, over time, most of them forgot the reason. Most of them were no longer looking for the Savior. Most of their rich worship life in the temple, in the tabernacle, which was centered on the sacrifice of the promised one, it became meaningless to them. They had forgotten the purpose of it all, and they sinned more and more until finally the Lord dispossessed them of that promised land and sent them into exile. But again, he brought them out of exile for a reason. From them was coming the promised one, and for his sake God forgave them. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. The Gentiles, that's most of us, most of our ancestors, they were no better off. In fact, without the written word of God, all that our ancestors had was the written law, the law written in their hearts, their consciences, their paltry knowledge of God that they could see with their eyes, and maybe some things left from their common ancestor, Noah. But not much. Long ago, our ancestors discarded the knowledge of the Savior, and they paid no attention to the truths that were given them from Noah. The sins of the Gentiles were no less and no more than those of the Israelites, because we too are descended from Adam. His sin has affected all of us since the time our mothers conceived us. We have been born in sin. But God was going to bring his Savior to us as well, and for his sake, God forgives. Believe it. This is personal. It's personal because God has written his law on our hearts so that we see our failures, our consciences cry out when we're about to do something that we know we shouldn't do. When we covet, when we think to steal something, even if it's a few moments of time from our employer. when we speak rebellious words to parents and superiors, when we speak ill of other people and carelessly toss around God's holy name as though it were nothing, when we think hearing his word is not the most exciting thing we've ever heard. It's personal. Because God has proclaimed to us, even today in your hearing, I will remember your sins and your lawless deeds no more. Like the Israelites, God brought us through the waters of baptism for a reason. Like the Gentiles of old, God has led you through the desert to the wisdom of the ages, his Son, who was born to set us free. And because he's spoken his word of forgiveness to us in holy baptism, because he has preached that forgiveness to us in his holy gospel, you've believed. You sought out, he sought you out and gave you faith so that you know him and trust him and listen to him gladly and hold his word sacred and hear and learn it. This is the powerful working of the forgiveness that God has extended to us. Instead of seeing the fury of God that we've spurned and abused and disregarded, we find the Lord, who has every right to hate us for what we've done, coming to us as a gentle father with words of forgiveness. This has had the most curious effect on us. Instead of forgetting our sins, disregarding them, now we know the truth about our sinfulness. When we hear the word preached, when the Spirit continues his work of drawing our attention to the law that he's written on our hearts, we see that we are not able to help ourselves. We're not able to save ourselves. We need a Savior. We're not even able to rightly understand of ourselves. God has done everything for us because of the grace that is in his heart, not because of anything in us. And nowhere is this more obvious to our faith than in his Son, whom he sent into this fallen world. Through ages and generations from the people of Israel, God brought forth his Son at the fullness of time, born under a woman. Born under the law, rather, to redeem us who are under the law. Jesus came from Judah, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from Noah, from Eve, the seed of the woman, to crush the serpent's head. Jesus came to do what we were utterly incapable of doing. He lived God's law. Every moment of his life, he lived God's law. He looked to his Father in heaven to supply him, to protect him. He cared for those around him in the most important ways. He trusted God and cared for everyone, even as he made his slow way to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the people. He did it for them, and he does it for you. Did it for you and for the generations yet unborn. God's justice was satisfied by what Jesus did. The perfect sacrifice was given once and for all. Jesus won forgiveness for all of Adam's children. And his death and resurrection changed your death to eternal life. The forgiveness of God is all important. And it's not just something that changes your status before God. God's forgiveness moves us to live fruitful lives. That's the purpose. God has shared that purpose with us. He's forgiven us our sins. He's given us faith so that now we have the ability to turn from our sins. In fact, that's the constant theme of the Christian life. We're always turning from our sins in repentance, always receiving God's forgiveness through word and sacrament. We hear the law written on our hearts by the Spirit. We read the law that is written in his word through the pens of the prophets and apostles. And we hear the gospel. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. So our lives are not lived out on a treadmill. a treadmill of offerings that have to be given to make God happy with us. We live in the freedom of Christ's once and for all sacrifice. That's why our worship here is not a dreary bloodbath of dying animals. It's not a repetition of some sacrifice that happened long ago. We have the Lamb of God as our risen Savior. The basis of our worship is God's forgiveness. Let that be all important to us. There's nothing in this world that should grab our attention more than His loving forgiveness in Christ, because that's our life. That's our eternal life. And it's not just for us. It's for everyone around us, Jew and Gentile alike. There's no better thought than, I am saved by the grace of God through faith. That forgiveness is not just there to make us feel better. It's there for our friends and our relatives and our neighbors. And remember, they might not see it that way at first. But God promises to come and speak when you speak His word faithfully. He promises to come in His powerful, gentle way to give that gracious forgiveness of sins to them. Now is the time. Who knows when our time here will be completed? Whether it's by a maniac driver in a white Corolla. License plate, no, I'm not going to do that. Or by breathing our last breath tonight in sleep. God's forgiveness is all important. All important for our failures, for faith, and for fruitful living. May the Spirit open our hearts and minds and fill us with His grace and embolden us to speak the truth in love. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. And now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.